B-Pod Studios.
Our good friend, Mr. Kevin Negandhi. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning.
You okay?
I'm that Simpsons meme, the old man that's yelling into the clouds or into the air. And honestly, I've got nothing left. Like, this has been a horrendous month. And last night was the final straw for me and this team. And watching them, I threw in the towel. Even if they make the playoffs, it's not going to be fun.
Okay.
And I'm not one of those guys. I'm an optimistic dude that you ride all the way through. But, you know, why do we, you know, the definition of insanity is keep on doing the same things. Why are we doing this every single night when they're rolling out that bullpen? And, you know, there's a lot of factors here. But it all comes down to the decision making from that front office, and I'm done. Like, I'm done with how they've done things, and I don't know how that there's no revolt inside that clubhouse after watching another blown save and just basically watching the last 2 weeks, all the hopes and the potential of this great lineup get washed away, and literally. No one wants to face the Phillies in a 5-game series with the first two guys pitching. And I understand Nola didn't bring it yesterday, but still, you put Nola in a playoff atmosphere with Wheeler 1-2. I like our chances at least to cause some trouble. And with that lineup, it's still beat up. But man, last night was the last straw for me.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, I'm going to start this question out like it's a wonderful ESPN 30 for 30. What if I told you that Matt Klentak was going to enter the season with an awful bullpen, realize then a month in it was awful, make five different trades, acquisitions to try to make that bullpen even better, and somehow magically it was still worse? How does that person keep their job as a general manager of a major sports team in a major sports city?
I don't know. That would be literally the answer. I don't know, and I still don't know. And then make the comments about JT Realmuto's future. To me, if you're the owner, you're telling your GM, hey, don't take any more comments. Don't take any more questions about this. Or just say, let's see how this plays out. For him to say what he said a couple of days ago, you're just sitting there and you're like, you literally have no pulse on the city. Whether you're telling the truth or not, you have no pulse on how the city's going to react. Because if you are going with the mindset that we're acquiring Realmuto for a 2-year window, then you go all in. You don't go half in. You don't go all in on filling a bunch of holes because you can't develop talent and then go halfway on your pitching staff when it comes to finding the right bullpen. You just can't go halfway with anything. And this is just going to haunt the Phillies, man. And maybe this is like a buildup of a lot of things, the Sixers and what they did inside the bubble. And then you see what that football team's doing with taking backward steps with the stubbornness of two people. It's just extremely frustrating. And we haven't even talked about the Eagles defense. So, I really feel like I'm a Debbie Downer here, guys.
No.
I passionately bring it. Just the last month, I am completely exhausted and wiped out with the ineptitude of the front offices in Philadelphia and how things have played out. Because, listen, we went through this dark age, right? Guys, remember the beginning part of this past decade, there was a dark age in Philadelphia sports across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, just be patient. We're going to build up. We were rewarded with that Philadelphia Eagles win. They went through some bad things to get there. We thought we went through some dark ages with the Sixers. And let me tell you, that was a historically bad dark age. And we thought we would come out on top 2 years ago, right? I don't see down the road an answer. And then you look at how inept this Phillies front office and the previous front office was in developing talent. You know, when your number one pick, the number one pick, is struggling out there at age 22, and he did nothing in minor league ball in Moniak, and we need some help right now. and he can't provide any help. You just sit there and you're like, I've got nothing, man. And I tweeted it out a couple days ago. I'm glad we got Carter Hart. I'm glad after three decades we found some stability in a future franchise goaltender. But I've got nothing to give right now in the way this these three other teams are playing and what they're giving us when it comes to hope, because it felt like we paid a price. And granted, we've got a Super Bowl and something I never thought I'd see in my lifetime, but on the cusp of potentially doing great things for the next decade, I feel like we've taken a step back across the board.
Kevin Igonde joining us from ESPN Sports Center, bringing the truth.
Kev, you said last night when I texted you, you said, I'm not going to be in the best mood tomorrow, but yeah, can't wait to join you guys. And that was before the second game of the Phillies was played last night. So just taking it full circle, going to the Eagles. We talked to Shefty earlier today, and he said, wow, I didn't even realize it. We haven't even brought up Carson Wentz's name on ESPN yet after two games this season. What's your confidence level? Not just these two games, but looking forward overall, what's your confidence level in Carson Wentz right now?
It's not there, Bob. Like, this is year five, and we're seeing throws made by a center guy trying to impress everybody and win the Super Bowl in every freaking pass play. Oh, Bob, now you got me hyped. Like, what gets me so mad about this is that I thought last December Carson played his best football. I'm not talking about that MVP run, right? I thought last December everything was coming together where he realized, I've got to make the smart play. I don't need to game manage. I got to make the smart play. I thought he was incredible during that run where they didn't have weapons. I'm not sure what he's doing right now. I don't know why he's being overly aggressive. I don't know why he feels like he needs to make the play. I don't know why the head coach and him are obsessed with the long ball constantly. It is so discouraging. And then, you know, I crushed, you know, the front office of the Phillies on drafting. You know, Howie had a home run, and Howie had his year of payback for a lot of us that called him out. And I respect him because he did a great – I mean, it was lightning in the bottle on what they did in the offseason leading up to that Super Bowl run. Every free agent hit. He nailed every single one. But we've got to now take a look back at some of these draft picks the last couple of years. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, when did he turn into Mac Hollins? Like, and then you see D.K. Metcalf making plays. You see Terry McLaurin making plays. I don't understand why we cannot develop talent across the board. And this is the most frustrating thing. And then why are we going for the long ball all the time? That interception of that drive by Wentz, inexcusable in year five. Inexcusable. Even if he threaded the ball and he got the ball in that tight window, still not a good decision. And I don't know why we're still talking about it, especially after week one when he owned up to it and said, I got to play better. Well, week two, did you play better? Did not see it.
No.
And that's the frustrating part. That's what gets me. I'm more of the, all right, give us some hope. Give us, if you make mistakes, it's forgivable, no matter what. Because, listen, no one's perfect, and playing professional sports, especially at that quarterback position, is tough. Give us hope that you're getting better. And have we seen that in the first 2 weeks, that this team is getting better from where they were a year ago? No. And the coach has to stop being stubborn. What do we see from Andy Reid, right? We saw a lot of stubbornness on the back end of his career with the Eagles, right? And I think Andy figured things out when he went to Kansas City, where it was like, I need to adjust. I need to be aware. I need to figure things out with my quarterback. Right now, we're not seeing that. With Doug, we are seeing this is the way it's going to happen. We're going to continue to be aggressive. Being aggressive is one thing. Being smart while being aggressive is another thing. We're not combining those things. And then it doesn't help that when you lose Malcolm Jenkins, while he's lost a step, you lose a quarterback on that defense. Every single offensive coordinator that has the Eagles on the schedule and has a tight end is salivating when they look at this linebacking core, because Howie's never made it a priority. And when you lose that quarterback on the back end like Malcolm Jenkins to cover everybody's butt on where to be, it just shows, and they will be exposed all season long.
What do you think about the, let's get you really going here, Kev. What do you think about the Sixers coaching search? Billy Donovan goes to Chicago. It looks like it's Mike D'Antoni's job to lose.
I'm not ready for that, Bob. I'm not ready for that. You're bringing in a guy. I like Ty Lue.
You do?
I'm in the Ty Lue corner. Because,
okay.
I actually, people who say, well, he hasn't done anything, you know, he won with LeBron. Well, one thing Ty Lue has done, he's won a championship. He has dealt with huge personalities. He doesn't back down from anybody. And he makes sure stars are accountable. And I think that was sorely missing with this team last year. Are you making your stars accountable day in and day out? Not, hey, let's wait till playoff time. Are you accountable? And I just don't understand the concept of Mike D'Antoni coming here. I think he's a genius of a guy, but Mike D'Antoni likes shooters. Tell me when you look at this team, where are the shooters? And this comes to development, too. When I look at the Heat have done such an amazing job of creating a culture from the top with Riley and Spoelstra, but also their player personnel department in finding talent everywhere. And we can't find that. Look at how the Sixers have drafted guys, and they cannot develop guys. And now there's some bad luck in between on some of these stories, but where are the shooters on a team when you're bringing in a guy that likes shooters from the outside? I don't know. I'm not mentally ready for that emotionally either, Bob and Mark, because right now I'm getting all this bad juju out of my system with what I'm seeing of that baseball team. And I don't have this, hey, the Eagles can turn it around this season vibe that I've had in previous years. They are really lucky they play in a god-awful division. Yeah. They're really lucky.
Yeah.
But the way this schedule shakes out, it is not forgivable for them. And if you don't have progress with the quarterback and this understanding that you need to make smart decisions, it makes for a long fall. And my fingers are crossed on what the Sixers do. I hope Elton brings in some player development guys. Now that he has the ability to do that and the control to do that, I'd like to know where the shooters are if you're bringing in a coach that likes outside shooting.
Right, all offense all the time, obviously. Speaking with the great Kevin Negandhi of SportsCenter of ESPN and Temple University. Hey, here's a positive. Two Temple head coaches faced off in football last weekend, so that happened.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And two guys that we love a lot, I think, B.A.'s, he's got so much North Philly in him, and he doesn't care about anybody, which I love in the sense of anybody's opinion. That attitude's been, I think it's infectious on that Buccaneers team. And, you know, I'm pulling for Matt, and it's going to be a tough year. When you look at that division, my goodness, it's going to be a tough year. It doesn't help that he loses CMC. But I think long-term, Matt understands how to build. Look at the first 2 years at Temple and Baylor. My advice to Carolina fans is just be patient because Matt knows what he's doing when it comes to building something that will outlast everyone. And, you know, it's cool to see, and hopefully we can talk Temple football in a couple weeks down the road. In their opener.
I'm certainly hoping so. Now, but to go back to baseball real quick, because you said you try not to be pessimistic, you try to, but you're always real. You're always real. Are you at a point, you said you threw in the towel, are you at a point where you would rather the Phillies miss the playoffs than make the playoffs?
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right?
So I would like to see a team like Bryce in this offense and JT in that on that stage and Reese and, you know, obviously the injuries, they'll have to figure out, you know, with McCutcheon. I'd like to see that offense. I feel really bad for Joe Girardi. Imagine having Mariano Rivera at will, and now you've got this bullpen. You talk about the two extremes.
Yeah, right.
The greatest reliever of all time and historically one of the worst bullpens of all time. Mm. I would like to see it. But I don't advocate anybody losing their job. But if that saves, Klintak, then no, because this team has to turn the page. It has to move in another direction. And I'm wiping my hands clean on There's no more of me saying blaming Quintac because I'm done. Like, there's just no more because I think the proof is in the pudding. It says what it says. I think you could just see he structured this team. He built this team. It falls on his shoulders with McPhail.
All right. The last thing for you, because I want to get this in. It's our Twitter poll question today, and it involves if you had to say thanks but no thanks to another year of Philly, you have to essentially vote one off the island right now in Philadelphia. It comes down to Quintac, Al Horford, so it could be a player as well, Matt Quintac, Al Horford, Jim Schwartz, or Howie Roseman, who is not getting an invite back next year.
Oh, come on. That is slam dunk. It's Quintac.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah. That's what I figured.
I actually feel sometimes Al was scapegoated because he didn't understand the roles were never put out there. Al takes some responsibility, but I actually give Al a pass this year. I want to see what it's going to be like with a different coach.
Okay. So what about Jim Schwartz?
Howie won us a Super Bowl. Howie won us a Super Bowl.
Okay.
And so Howie, as long as you take the keys potentially away from Howie drafting, Howie won us a Super Bowl. And so I give Howie the pass there because, again, he structured that team and they made some great moves for that run. And Howie's doing what he can. Jim Schwartz, I don't know what to say. Listen, he doesn't make all the personnel moves, but Quintac, without even hesitating, like literally, it's probably the easiest question you can ask all day.
That's what I figured. And on that list right now, it's funny just how things work when everything's put in perspective. Jim Schwartz is the most beloved of the four names that we put on there because he's in last place right now. He's the person that they wouldn't mind coming back next year the most. So
really, that is fascinating. Well, before I let you guys go, and you guys have probably talked about it, I just want to hear your take here on what you're seeing from Carson Wentz. Like, are you guys, hey, let's just wait this out. It's just a rough start. Are you guys fed up? I don't want to hear about Nick Foles.
No.
Like, this is not a Nick Foles conversation.
Right.
I want to hear about where you guys are with Carson Wentz at this moment.
I am legit concerned about Carson Wentz. That's where I'm at right now. I'm seeing way too much of the Superman gene from him. That has been what I've been saying throughout this week. Last week, week one against Washington, I thought that was more of Doug Peterson failing to help out his quarterback. This week was 100% I felt on Carson Wentz. He did not perform at the level we have seen him perform at many times in the past, and there's been too much of the negative recently to blame anyone else other than Carson himself.
Now, I go this way, Kev. I go with, I don't think the relationship between Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz is getting the best out of Carson Wentz. I still think he can be a really good quarterback in this league. I don't know what it is. I'm not a huge Doug Peterson guy, but I'm not looking to cast blame on him just because of that. I don't think he's getting the most out of Carson Wentz right now, and I don't know if he can get it.
Fair. It's fair. Here's the thing. If you're going to measure these two guys, what they did last December is, to me, still incredible with the parts that they had. I just don't understand how we've taken three steps back after what we saw last year and how this team hasn't moved forward. That will always be a head-scratcher. And I had somebody I know and respect really well tell me, things are broken. And when I heard that, I was like, whoa, that is a big word, broken? And they're like, things are broken. I'm not saying the relationship's broken. I'm saying just things just look broken. And I was not expecting that at the start of this season. That's a huge red flag. They're lucky they got the Bengals this week. I say that holding my breath. And they're lucky they got the 49ers that are beat up the week after. And they're lucky they're playing in that division. But they've got to figure this out fast, because if they don't, changes will need to be made.
Absolutely. Now, Kev, just last thing on a more personal note here. Are you going to see Adam Schefter today by chance?
I probably will. What do you want me to? Schefter's the man. What do you want me to do?
I just maybe off the air, not for on the air, but just ask him how his dog's doing. Just get back to us, because he was on with us earlier today. He had to drop his dog off, and I was busy asking him Carson Wentz questions. He didn't get a chance to say goodbye to his dog, dropping a dog off at the vet. So just make sure Ellie's okay.
Gotcha. Yeah. By the way, Schefter's a big dog guy. Like,
yeah.
They've got three dogs, I think, in the house now. They're looking to add maybe a couple more. Like, Schefter and his wife are big dog people. And the kids love it. So I'll ask, because one of his dogs used to make a routine appearance on SportsCenter with me and him. He's a good man. One of the best people around you could ever meet. So I'll definitely follow up.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. The great Kevin Negandhi. Thank you so much for giving us so much time today. Appreciate it.
Fellas, hang in there. Hang in there.
You too, buddy.
You too, man.
Fingers crossed.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.